All right, so it's been a few weeks since we've been in 1 Corinthians. I love the sound of that voice. It sounds like we're in a movie theater. Here it comes, the loud thunderings from the pulpit. So we do have a new soundboard, we're just trying to figure it out. But at least it's working. All right, so we are back in 1 Corinthians. Now, remember what Corinthians is all about. It's about division, okay? So the church started off great as Paul was there, but then after he left, they started to divide, and they divided over some silly things. One, they divided over, you know, who their favorite teacher was. And as Christians, we can fall into that trap. Of, oh, well, I like this guy better, or this guy, my guy's better than your guy, kind of a thing. Remember those bumper stickers, you know, my kid is smarter than your kid, my kid's on the honor roll, or whatever. Remember that? That was going around there for a while. Well, we can kind of do the same thing with our churches, and we can walk around and say, well, I go to such and such church, and it's great, and it's better than your church, and there's nothing wrong with promoting your church. But we have to beware of falling into that trap of thinking that, you know, we're some kind of special place and that we've got all the answers and that we're the right ones. And, you know, that's not what it's about. When you look at the universal church, the reason there's so many different churches, especially within like the same affiliations and things like that, is it's kind of different flavors. You know, and some people teach a different way. Some people have more application. Some people have more of a teaching aspect of it. And some people are kind of more surface. And that's okay, because what happens is as those people go, you know, they grow where they are. Some people have, you know, some really exciting worship, and people go for that. Some people have some really good ministries. But we have to remember the core of what church is, and that is the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. That's what it's all about. You guys come to church to be equipped for the working of your ministry in the everyday workings of your lives. And so it's not necessarily about coming and getting a feel-good message, right? Getting that motivational speech or engaging in worship so much that you just have this happy feeling. Nothing wrong with that, but that's not the main purpose of church. And if you're seeking that, there's going to be a time that you're going to be let down. Music's not going to be so great that day. The teaching's not going to be so great that day. And then all of a sudden, you're starting to wonder, well, maybe the Spirit has left. Maybe we need to go to another place. And we get into this consumer Christianity, and we have to be careful. And so Paul writes this letter to the Corinth church, and he can very well title it to us today, Beware of These Divisions. And this book goes through not only, hey, this is my favorite teacher and he's better than you, but into all kinds of different aspects of how division happens. And so now that we're in the 14th chapter, a big area of division is what we call spiritual gifts. And this is a major point of contention between a lot of churches, a lot of denominations, and there's a lot of misguiding within this particular topic. And so hopefully with today, we've get some good understanding of what Paul is talking about here, and we can watch out for those dangers that are out there. There's teachings out there that believe that the spiritual gifts aren't for today. Well, that's an error. Right, we are part of the church, and this letter was written to the church. And so what Paul is saying to the Corinthian church, he's saying to us today, we're still part of that group, the church age. So spiritual gifts are very much for the church today. Some people believe that if you don't show the gifts, then it's proof that you are not saved. Well, there's a problem with that too, because as we read in the text, it's not up to us whether the gifts come or go. It's up to God. And so if we're dependent upon showing our gifts as proof of salvation, then that leads into us counterfeiting them or us, you know, putting a falseness in there. Hey, look, I'm speaking in tongues, or I'm prophesying, or I've got a word of knowledge, and that's the proof that I'm saved. And it doesn't mean anything at all. One of the big things that I have a problem with, especially in this particular groupings of spiritual gifts, is the gift of healing. Because you have people that say, well, I have the gift of healing. And so they walk around with this healing ministry as if they have the power. And they can call it up whenever they want. And there's a problem with that too, because that's not what 1 Corinthians 14 teaches either. And so you can kind of see where some of these divisions come. Or if God manifests a gift in your life, right, it causes jealousy. Well, my gift's better than your gift. Kind of sound familiar? My teacher's better than your teacher. My pastor's better than your pastor. Well, over here at this church, when you come into church, all your teeth are going to turn gold. There's gifts happening here. And it's like, you got to come to us, and that's not sound doctrine. And so as we approach this, we must understand that this is an area of division. And maybe you grew up or you have been long in thinking that one of these things that I shared as an example of, maybe a demonstration of being saved, or that God gives you that gift and you can have it at your call and will. Maybe you've come up with that. Maybe that's your belief today. And so I would ask you, let's look into the Word. And it's not what I say, but let's see what God says. And then you work out your salvation, right? Receive the Word with all readiness, and then you search the Scripture to find out what was sold. My job to you is to just show you what God says and demonstrate it. That's the edification. That's what we're supposed to do here at church, is to show you this so that you grow in your relationship with God, and then you can go out and do the work of the ministry on your own. So last time we were together, we introduced this topic with the danger of there could be a different spirit, a different gospel, a different Jesus. And so we have to be careful with those elements, okay? So when you start to look at, I said 14, we're in chapter 12. I was skipping to 14. You know, who needs 12 and 13? But see, that's where we teach line upon line and book upon book and chapter by chapter. I can't skip anything. Darn it. He starts off there in verse 1. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, what does he say? Don't be ignorant. Man, it's so scary to just look at people and go, well, I heard. Or I opened a commentary and it said this. And they take that as gospel. They take that as, that's what the truth is. And there's a danger with that. Because a lot of commentaries are just regurgitating information that they got from another commentary. And it's very rare that somebody really looks at the words and see what it says and grows within that word, within themselves, instead of just saying, oh, well, I heard on the radio, or I heard at church that this is the way it is, and so therefore, that's the way it is. Paul's telling you right here in the very first verse, don't be ignorant. Guess what? It's okay to question what's in the Bible. Why is it okay? Because that causes you to process it. It causes you to work through it. It causes you to study and to rightly show yourself approved as a workman. So don't just sit there and have with your mouth open and be like, feed me. You got to learn to chew on it and to really understand it. And that's what Paul's saying. Whenever you read that, don't be ignorant. One, there's a chance of being ignorant. And two, people are being ignorant. Otherwise, he wouldn't say it. He also says this, by the way, about eschatology, about end times. Hey, don't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant, because there's a danger there. So, understand that we are to know. We're to know this topic of spiritual gifts. Then he goes on, he says, verse 2, you know that while you were Gentiles, carried away to the dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking in the Spirit of God caused Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So that right there is kind of the introduction to spiritual gifts. Now, when you think of the word gift, what does that mean? That means that it is given to you, right? It's not wages. Wages is something you earn. So there is no such thing as spiritual wages. Well, if you want to look at it that way, spiritual wages is actually the wages of sin, which is death, if you want to go there. But the gift of salvation is eternal. So there again, just in that idea of we don't earn it, but we are given it, is very important. So you must understand that when it's concerning spiritual gifts, they are indeed a gift. It's not something that you have on your own. Well, I was born with the word of wisdom. No, you weren't. I was born with the gift of healing. No, you weren't. Now, there are different gifts. There are ministerial gifts, which we have that God again gives us that we use in the work of the ministry. And by the way, we all have those. There's the gift of administration. There's the gift of teaching. There's all these gifts. And God has put that gift in you to help complete the body. And so when we look at our church and we use that analogy of a body, we think, okay, there's a hand and there's a foot and there's a mouth and there's an ear and there's an eye. And one of us is one of those parts. We can't all be mouths. I know we want to. But without feet, without hands, without eyes, without noses, there's no way that the mouths do any good. So there's an important part. Now, who here today is the little toe? I want to know. Because if you're the little toe, you're like, no, I'm not raising my hand. But you know what the Bible says? That little toe is going to probably be first in the kingdom of heaven. Kind of cool, right? The mouth? Yeah, go to the back. You spoke enough. So the thing I'm trying to drive home here is it's like, even though you have a gift, it's not insignificant in God's kingdom. In fact, it's vital. It's important. And part of your stewardship unto the Lord is to use that gift. Because if you don't use that gift, this body is diseased. It is handicapped. When we look at somebody who is handicapped, what do we think of? There's something with them that's not functioning correctly. Maybe they're missing a leg. Maybe they're missing some kind of a part of their body. They're blind. They can't talk. They can't hear. We call that person handicapped. They can't walk. Maybe their brains aren't fully developed and they can't think that way. It's not their fault. It's handicapped. That's what we call them. And now with the church, it's by choice. It is our fault if we're handicapped because we're not utilizing our gifts. So there's the ministerial gifts. There's the spiritual gifts and the manifestation gifts. Okay, these are very, very important to understand the different breakdown of the gifts, because when you're looking at it from that perspective, the motivational gifts or the ones that we're going to see in Romans, then the minister gifts that we're seeing in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 later on, and in the first portion, the manifestation gifts is what we're going to talk about today. But there's three parts of that that demonstrate, and we have to understand what we're talking about and how they fit in our Christian walk. So, but don't be ignorant. Now, it starts off right there as that kind of title leads. It says that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is kind of what's generating all of the ability to claim Jesus as one's Lord, and also we'll see he is the source and the unity of all the gifts. And that's why Jesus was telling the disciples, he says, hey, after I leave, it's going to be a good thing. It's going to be better for you, because without me, the helper can't come. The helper will work in you and through you. The helper being the Holy Spirit, who is the one who brings the spiritual gifts. So in verse 4, it's kind of kicking off again with that division thing, and it says there are diversities, right? There is differences of the gifts, but the same Spirit. So remember contextually what's going on here. There's a division within the church, and contextually they're talking about division now with spiritual gifts. My gift's better than yours. My church has these gifts. Yours church doesn't. Right? I have this gift, and I'm amazing, and you're not so good. You're the little toe. And so Paul says, yeah, there's different gifts, but guess what? They're all from the same Spirit. You're going to read that three times, by the way. Verse 5, there are differences of ministries. Okay, different term, but the same Lord. Okay, see, there's kind of a running theme there. The same Spirit, the same Lord. And verse 6, and there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. So no matter what you want to think, you must understand there's differences, there's divisions, right, or diversities, and there's different gifts, but they all come from the same source. So therefore, they're all united. That is the opposite of divided. So when we look at spiritual gifts, if we believe they come from the same Spirit, it is uniting, bringing us together, not dividing us. And that's where Paul's saying, don't be ignorant with it. Don't be ignorant. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Okay, so check out the words there. The manifestation, the demonstration. What does the manifestation mean? What does that mean? It means to show proof, right? The revealing, the display of this gift. And this is what cracks me up. Because when you look at people who claim to have the gift of healing, let's say, they're like, okay, if you want to be healed, here's what you have to do. You just have to take some money, drop it in an envelope, and send it to me. And then I will send you an anointed handkerchief. And with that anointed handkerchief, you will be healed. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read the second portion of verse 7, when it says, for the profit of all, it means not for the profit of the one. And so when I say, hey, Bruce, you want some healing? Okay, well, guess what? I have the gift. But you know what? It's going to cost you $5.99. And if you act now, I'll send you a second handkerchief. That's for the profit of me. If I have this gift, the true godly spirit and the true Christian motivation of that gift is for the profit of all of us. So I'm going to come and I'm going to allow God to demonstrate that gift through me, not to puff me up, but to puff the body up, to puff the church up, right? That's what it's for. And it really breaks my heart when I see that and when I hear that, because it's an abuse. And unfortunately, that's where a lot of people start to get a sour taste in their mouth about church. They're just in it for the money. I mean, really, if you had a good moral person that truly had the gift of healing, if I had that, where would I be? I would be going to the hospitals, and I would be touching as many people as I could. I wouldn't be setting up a tent and charging a mission. That's a show. That's crazy. But we have to understand that if you have that gift, it's for the profit of all. So that kind of goes back to, listen, God has given you some gifts. And if God often works these gifts in your life, listen, you're withholding by not being available to have God use that gift in your life. Kind of goes back to the whole thing about Well, you know, I don't really need to go to church. I can just hang out at my house, and I can just be on my little island. And it's like, well, that's true, I guess. But if you take in context the whole idea of the body and the fact that God says, don't forsake the gathering of the elect. Why doesn't he want us to do that? For this very purpose. Because God wants to work through you. And when you come and you're available and God gives you that gift, whatever it is, and we're going to get to him here in a little bit, and then now you're profiting everybody that's here. If you have the gift of singing, you bless the whole church when you come. If you have the gift of teaching, you're blessing people when you teach. If you have the gift of going downstairs and cleaning up the white stuff all over the place, you're benefiting the church. Because now the kids can go downstairs and now the kids can have their church because it's cleaned because of the gift that you just did. And the danger is like, wow, man, that was a mess downstairs. Whew, I worked so hard. You should have seen. It's under my nails. Look. And it's like, now you're starting to try to get that profit for you. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the worship team. There's always a danger with that. Man, we sounded good. Oh, you should have seen us Thursday night. Wow, we really sweated through that rehearsal. Oh, it was a challenge. You know, we were kind of not on the same page, but then all of a sudden we worked it out. And it's like, why are you telling me this? Because you want to puff yourself up? You want me to say, good job? I'm not God. Wouldn't you rather hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, from God? Now, the Bible does tell us, let us be esteemed by another man, by another person, right? So you should be telling people, hey, nice, thank you for doing that. That was good, right? Because that helps build it up. But if you go in that motivation looking for it, be careful. Be careful. Always think of your motivation of why you are telling somebody something. Why are you doing that? Why are you sharing that information? And I guarantee you, most of the time, it's because you want to brag about what you're doing. Oh, I was praying for you, Jason, last night. I was praying for you, and oh, I hope you're doing good. I heard about your issue, and I just got so lost in prayer, and all of a sudden I heard the roosters crowing. It was like, it must have been all night. Why am I telling you that? You were praying all night until the roosters crowed? Oh, man. Thank you. All you could have simply said is, hey, I hope things are working out for you because I'm praying for you. And enough said. Enough said. But listen, this is so important because when you withdraw yourself, and I'm not trying to, on anybody online who's still, because we still have people that are still kind of cautious about coming, and that's okay? I'm not trying to beat this over their head. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just trying to share with you why it's important to come to church. Because when you come to church and God works through you, you bless people. And so those that are here, though, let me give you a little warning. I know you're watching the clock because I'm watching it too. And it's like, you know how nice it is outside? I got things to do. We got people coming over. Church is over. It's like school when the bell rings. Where'd it go? It's like, why don't you just find one person and say, hey, how you doing? I'm going to pray for you. Because here's what we do. Hey, Jason. I'm using Jason today. Jason's my example. Hey, Jason, how's life? Oh, it's great. Anything I can pray for you? No, we're good. Right? One or two things. One, everything could be good. Or two, you didn't want to tell me. And that's okay. So what do? Well, let's pray a prayer of thanksgiving that nothing's going on in your life. Just real quick. Guys, that is what grows us together. That's what brings blessing to the church. That's a spiritual gift that profits everybody.
Because as you're going to see in a moment, when we're praying and seeking God, that's when he works through us. And I'm going to tell you, most of the time when he works these manifestation gifts, you don't even realize it. It's not like the room goes dark and the spotlight comes on and your head has a glow and your clothes start to glisten. And it's like, oh, this is a God moment. God doesn't work that way. Why? Because that's a sign. And then we start seeking that sign. And then when God works, it's like, there was no glowing. That wasn't from the Lord. You see the dangers with that? And then what happens is when God just speaks in that small, still voice, then you look back and you go, man, that's where God was. So cool. So the manifestation of the gifts, which one is the most essential? Right? That's a key word today, essential workers. Which one's the essential gifts? The most valid or the most true gift? The most important gift? Which one is the most needed gift? Which one do we have to really give our attentions to? Which ones are desired? As you're reading through this list, you're like, I want that one. Like a menu, right? I'll take three scoops of the gift of healing. Which gifts are most honored? Do you look at somebody who has the gift of healing and put them up on a pedestal? And which ones are acceptable? So let's take a look at these gifts, and I don't know how far we'll get today, but let's take a look at them and really get understanding so that we're not ignorant, but I hope so far you understand the motivation now and why these gifts are important, and listen, why they are needed. The Holy Spirit is alive and active. Don't ever believe that the Holy Spirit's not for today. No, we need the Holy Spirit. It's a promise from Jesus, and we are sealed with that Spirit. And that Spirit is really kind of the power and the motivation of why we do and how we do things. Do you understand? Understand that when Jesus came to this earth, he emptied himself, not of his deity. He couldn't undo who he was, but he emptied himself. And so when we look at the miracles of Jesus, and there were some pretty neat miracles, right? I mean, we see some feeding of 5,000s. We see some walking on water, raising people from the dead like Lazarus, opening the eyes, opening the ears, giving lame people to walk. Do you understand that he did that through the power of the Holy Spirit? The same Holy Spirit that we have today? Now, maybe you're like, oh, if I just had the gifts like Jesus had them. Jesus said to his disciples, hey, God's no respecter of persons, right? These same things that work in me, they'll work in you. And if you say to that mountain, get up and move with enough faith, it'll happen. So it's important. But check it out. Let's look at the first one, verse 8. For one is given, there's that key word again, given a word of wisdom. How? Through the Spirit. This is going to get hammered because we think we've got something to do about this. I'm just so wise. I don't know why. I just naturally am wise, or I've done a lot of studying, and man, I've just got some wisdom. No, you don't. It was given to you, and it was the Spirit's wisdom. You were just that channel and that vessel. Now, does God need us, church? Absolutely not. So now you might ask that question, well, why does God give it to us? Why does he want us to be that channel? Why does he want to be that vessel? Because it blesses us. I want you to think of it this way. If you have a kid, and you, that kid wants to buy somebody in your family a gift, and so you take that child to the store, and you're like, okay, let's pick out a gift. And that child picks out a gift, and then wraps it, or you help him wrap it, or her wrap it, And then they go and they present that gift. Aren't they just so proud and just, they're so blessed to give that gift? Have you ever seen that or experienced that? They're just so happy that they were able to give that person their gift. Now, let's retrack back a little bit. Who bought the gift? The kid didn't do nothing. The kid didn't earn the money to pay for the gift. The kid didn't get in the car that they bought with the gas that they provided and drove to the store. It was your money. It was your time. It was your vehicle that took the kid to do all that. Then you paid for the gift. You helped wrap the gift. Oh, by the way, you paid for the wrapping and the tape, the six rolls of tape, because that's how kids wrap presents, with a whole bunch of tape. Just to turn around and the kid, maybe the kid's even giving it to you. And you're like, oh, it's so great. That's what God does. You're the kid. It's his gift. But God allows us to be blessed. And then in the end, rewards us for that. Gives us rewards for using his sources. So, it's through the Spirit. The word of wisdom. What is the word of wisdom? This is the only time this gift is mentioned in the Bible. Right here, 1 Corinthians 12:8. The Greek word for word is logos, which is defined as something said. It's talking about maybe a topic or a subject. The Greek is also translated in other places of the New Testament as to give an account or to preach or to question or to say, speech, talk, utterance, word of wisdom. The Greek word is sophia, S-O-P-H-I-A, whose definition is wisdom. So what is this wisdom? It is a supernatural provision of divine wisdom, or the right application of knowledge. So that's what wisdom is. Wisdom basically can be summed up as the ability to apply knowledge. People say power or knowledge is power, and that's not true. Knowledge isn't power, because unless you put that knowledge to use, it does nothing. So applied knowledge is power. I mean, you could read books and learn all kinds of things that you want, but if you never apply it in your life, where's the power in that? So this is a supernatural gift given to you about how to properly apply something in context of whatever the issue is. And again, most of the time, it's very subtle. Somebody may be sharing something with you. Maybe they're in a situation. Maybe they're going through a problem, and you're like, hey, have you ever thought about trying this? And you're like, huh, where'd that come from? I don't know. God just gave you that gift. That's a word of wisdom for that person. That person's like, wow, that's an excellent idea. Or somebody is sharing with you a problem, and you say, you know, oh, for some reason, this scripture just pops to mind. And you share with them that scripture, and they're like, huh, that key fits. That's a perfect fit. And now what are you thinking? Well, man, it's a good thing I did all that Bible memory, because I pulled that out. No. Remember, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will bring back into your remembrance the things to say. So, again, it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. So, understand that it is given to a Christian to basically know what to do or say in a specific situation. Jesus manifested a word of wisdom to the Pharisees when they were trying to trap him into a certain trap with the government, specifically the tax collector. Jesus has a word of wisdom. Render to Caesar's the things that are Caesar's, and the things God are God. And they could not respond to it because that was a word of wisdom. Have you ever had that in your life? That you just shared something with somebody and you kind of maybe don't know where it came from. You're like, huh, that doesn't make sense to me either, but have you ever tried this? Have you ever tried that? Or have you applied God's word this way? And it works perfectly. Guys, that's a word of wisdom. And when you're in those conversations again, remember, key word, you got to be in conversations with people for God to use this for the profit of all. And you're like, you don't even realize it. There was no lights. There was no hovering. There was no smoke and mirrors. God just like, hey, say this. And you don't even know it. You're just speaking it. I bet you if you look back, rewind the tapes of your life, you'll be like, man, I've seen that here, I've seen that here, I've seen that here. Or somebody else said it to you. And it's just been the answer that you were looking for. Now, what's neat about that is maybe through your Bible reading or maybe through your listening to things, you know, on the radio or online or talking to somebody and they share with you a verse. And, you know, Dave and I are just talking and he just says, hey, I was just reading this verse and it's just kind of interesting. And I'm like, oh, okay, great. And then Jason comes up to me and says, hey, I have this problem. And all of a sudden I'm like, hey, have you ever looked at this verse? And it was the one that Dave just shared with me. See how God kind of works in that? Now, here's the cool thing. I'm going to get blessed from that, and Dave's going to get blessed for that because we're using that gift, the word of wisdom. Continuing on, to another, so a different person, a word of knowledge, but through what? The same Spirit. So what is a word of knowledge? Different from wisdom. Remember what wisdom is. It's applied knowledge. So it's how to answer somebody's question or situation that they're in. And it's a specific question. It's a specific answer. All right? Sometimes the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge can get kind of confused. But it's, again, only mentioned here in 1 Corinthians 12:7. The Greek word logos, again, word. It's translated here as word. And the Greek word gnosko is knowledge. Gnosko. So now, this is not a book knowledge. This is an experienced knowledge. There's a difference of reading about something versus actually getting your hands in it and working through it. So one is theory, and the other one is an experiential knowledge. It comes from my experience. I have done this. And so a word of knowledge here is that gnosko, which means knowing through implication or by knowledge through experience. We also see this translated into science in 1 Timothy 6:20. So, here's where we believe that this gift comes into play. And it is, again, a supernatural, because it is a gift, a supernatural revelation of facts, past, present, or future. And they're not facts that you can learn. So, if I study my facts, if I study up on a situation, if somebody comes to me and says, hey, here's an example, a perfect example we can look at right now, with our church, the people that broke into our church, right? We believe we know who they are because of the facts that we were shown. We've got pictures, we've got video. The police took fingerprints. There's blood samples. I mean, it was like CIA up in here last night. It was crazy. So, if I, CSI, whatever it is. Obviously, I don't watch that stuff. Thank you for correcting me. But I could have done all that and be like, oh, the Lord has given me a word of knowledge. I know who it is. No,
You watch the video. A word of knowledge is the Lord saying, it's this person, without any of that. Without any of that. Or I've had this gift actually work through me one time. And there's some people in the church that know when it happened. And again, it was a very subtle thing. In conversation, I just said, hey, what if this would happen in your lives? How would you handle that? And it was totally out of the blue. It was like, what? What you talking about, Willis? That's never going to happen. Well, guess what? It did. And looking back at it, it's like, that was a word of knowledge because I knew that something was going to happen way before it did. And it, again, no lights. We were just sitting down in the living room having a conversation. I said, hey, what if this happened? And again, you can ask Heidi because it was totally out of the blue. I don't know why I would ask that question. Why would I be even thinking that? And sure enough, it came to pass. That word of knowledge helped prep them, or at least put the thought in their mind that that could be a possibility. And it's not, I'm not going to share with you what it is, but it's not something that, because of that thought, was manifested because of that idea. It was a tragedy that we knew that came later, okay? All right, so we're going to end there, and we're going to continue on with the spiritual gifts again next week. So we've got two of them, but the key thing is it doesn't bring division. And we need to be here. We need to be with each other. You need to be fellowshipping outside of church, having those conversations, talking with one another as the body of Christ, because these are the things that God uses to build us up, to unite us. We don't need division, especially in today's world. If anything, we need to become more united, and we as Christians need to be strong to stand in the fight. It is a spiritual battle, church. And we need that edification. We need that strength. We need that prophet that builds us all up. And it's all through God who gives it, as we'll read next week, as he wills. Lord, we thank you for just the word that you gave us today and how we can look at your Bible and get clear understanding of what this stuff means. And the enemy wants to cause division. He wants to divide us, break us apart, and scatter us around. But that's not the intent. Because when we're strong together, that's when we stand in the gap. That's when we make a difference. And that's when people look and go, there's something different there. They're not like every other place. They're united. And the only way that that is even possible is because of the gift of the cross, that we were all sinners, and that we all did earn the wages, which is death. But you gave us the gift, the eternal gift of a salvation, and that was sending your son to die on the cross. And we're told in the word that whoever believes in him shall not perish, shall not have to be responsible to pay those wages of death because he took our place, but that we would have everlasting life. And so this morning as we close, if the Lord is knocking on your heart, today is the day where you say, I am a sinner. And Lord, I believe that Jesus died in my place upon that cross. And that I see that he took my place. I repent of my sins. I give them to him. I believe that he was placed in the tomb, and on the third day he rose again. And I ask him to be my Lord and my Savior. As soon as you do that, the Bible says you are saved and you are sealed and the Holy Spirit has moved in. And so, Lord, we ask that you would just protect us. Form that hedge of protection around us. And through our attacks, Lord, you grow us stronger together. That these aren't dividing attempts. These are uniting attempts. So Lord, just we give you praise. And we ask for wisdom.